بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. We continue reading the Aqaid concerning Qiyamah, under which we were discussing the major and minor signs of Qiyamah. The minor signs were mentioned, and we are reading concerning the major signs. From the 10 major signs, we have read about 7. The last one was Dabbatul Ard, the beast which will appear from the earth, from Mount Safa, and it will be a strange beast who will speak, an animal who will speak to people. The next major sign is number 8, the breeze. After the disappearance of this creature, a very fresh and fragrant breeze will emanate from the south. Its effect will be that all the believers will die, and there will remain no person to differentiate between virtue and evil. Number 9, the reign of the people of Habsha from Abyssinia. After the death of all the Muslims, in the way mentioned above, the world will be filled with disbelievers. Now the world will come under their domination, and the people of Habsha will rule. They will destroy the Kaaba Sharif and remove the treasures buried under it. The world will be plunged into immorality, evil and corruption. People will satisfy their carnal desires in public like animals. The Quran Majid will be raised so that no portion of the Quran will be seen to be written in any book. There will remain no believers, and this will be the worst epoch of moral degeneration and oppression. There will also be severe sicknesses and diseases. Number 10, the last major sign, the raging fire. The last sign of Qiyamah is that a large and raging fire will commence in Aden, which occurs in Yemen, which will turn the people towards the plane of resurrection. Qiyamah will now take place. Belief number 2. When all these signs have occurred, then preparation for Qiyamah will commence. The exact date of Qiyamah is only known by Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Israfil alayhi salam will blow the trumpet by the command of Allah Ta'ala. This trumpet is a huge object in the form of an animal horn. By the blowing of the trumpet, the earth and skies will split into pieces. All of creation will pass away, and the souls of those who have passed away will become unconscious. However, those whom Allah Ta'ala wishes to protect will remain in a state of consciousness. A period of time will elapse in this way. Belief number 3. Then when Allah Ta'ala wishes, the world will be recreated. The trumpet will be blown a second time. The whole world will once again come into existence. The dead will be given life, and all will gather in their bodily form on the plains of Qiyamah. Facing difficulties there, the people will proceed to the Anbiya alayhimu salam, requesting them to intercede on their behalf. Finally, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will intercede, and this intercession of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is called Ash-Shafa'atul Kubra. Every person's good and evil deeds, actions will be weighed. There will be reckoning for these deeds. However, some will enter Jannah without reckoning. The book of deeds will be placed in the right hand of the pious and in the left hand of the evildoers. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will give this ummah water to drink from the pond of Kawthar. This water will be whiter than milk and sweeter than honey. Every person will have to cross the bridge of Sirat. The righteous will cross it and reach Jannah, whilst the evildoers will fall from it into Jahannam, into hell. Last night, alhamdulillah, in the Taraweeh, the 17th para was recited, which comprises of 2 surahs, Suratul Anbiya and Suratul Hajj. As the first surah, as the name suggests, Suratul Anbiya, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of many Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam in the surah, 17 all in all, and that is why the surah has been given its name, Suratul Anbiya. Being a Makki surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the fundamentals of deen and more concerning the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, proofs in this regard, and also the evil and also the evil beliefs and the wrong beliefs of the kuffar are refuted, and Allah Ta'ala in many ways refutes their false beliefs. This particularly is mentioned in the first half of the surah. The second half of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention of many of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam. The first verse of the surah, Allah Ta'ala depicts the nature, the temporary nature of this world, and that qiyamah and reckoning is close. Although over 1400 years have passed since the revelation of the Quran and Majid, but yet Allah Ta'ala calls the reckoning which will occur on the day of qiyamah that it has drawn close. Because as the Arabic saying goes, kullu ma huwa atin fa huwa qareebun. That which, the coming of which is inevitable, that is regarded to be qareeb, which is close. Allah Ta'ala mentions, اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ, that the reckoning for the people has drawn close, yet people are in a state of negligence, in their state of negligence, they turn away in aversion, they don't pay any heed towards the seriousness of that they have to give reckoning for all their deeds. They don't believe either in the year after, or either they don't prepare adequately, nor do they do actions which will benefit them for day of Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions in the verses that come after that many of the absurd and baseless statements and stubborn statements of the kuffar with regard to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and particularly with regard to the Quran and Majid. They refused to accept Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the Nabi and the Quran and Majid as the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala mentions when any new verse is revealed to them, they listen to it in jest, in a playful way, in a mocking way, lahiyatan qulubuhum, in a condition that their hearts are completely heedless. And then Allah ta'ala says that because they cannot deny the effect of the Quran and Majid and the power of influence of the Quran and Majid over the hearts of the people, that's why they themselves make different statements concerning the Quran and Majid, but refusing to accept that it is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says that they secretly convene those who are the wrongdoers, and they say that this man, referring to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is just a human like you. How can he be a Nabi when he's just a human being like all of us? Allah Ta'ala later on mentions the answer to that, that every Nabi which came before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, each one of them was a human being. And if you are in doubt concerning that, ask the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians, what type of Nabi had come to them, and they will also say that it was a human being, whether it was Isa alayhi salam or whether it was Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Further on, they say in different ways that no, this Quran Majid is a collection of confused dreams. Then they say, bal iftarahu. Instead they say, no, this person, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has fabricated it from his own side and falsely attributed it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then on the other hand they say, bal huwa sha'ir. No, nay, instead he is a poet, that his words have a charm and a great effect, but there is no truth in his words. So these were the ways they tried to brush off the fact that the Quran Majid is actually the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they could not admit it, and eventually they came to the point that no, it is black magic, and this Nabi, na'udh billah, is a magician, and with his black magic he's having an effect, his words are having effect on the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that further on, they say that فَلْيَأْتِنَا بِآيَةٍ, then bring forth a sign, a miracle, which will prove your nabuwat, as was the case of the previous Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, who were given miracles. Allah Ta'ala tells them and reminds them that those nations of the past, when those miracles were shown to them, particularly those which they had requested and demanded to be shown, then they did not accept. Allah Ta'ala says that we destroyed them. Then are these people, the people of Makkah, are they going to bring Iman? In other words, they got no intention of bringing Iman, no matter what is shown to them, and they will just brush it off as magic and anything or something else. Further on, Allah Ta'ala then mentions that we had completely annihilated the people of before, those who were those who are bent on their transgression and rebellion, and then we replace them with other nations. Allah Ta'ala indicates to the fact that no nation should regard themselves to be indispensable. That now how will Allah Ta'ala destroy them? No, Allah Ta'ala, whoever is falls into this evil of refusing to accept the haq when it is shown to them, then Allah Ta'ala will destroy them and replace them with other nations. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the purpose of the creation of the skies and the earth, don't think so Allah Ta'ala just created it out of because of some amusement, idle amusement. Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاءَ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا لَاعِبِينَ. It wasn't that Allah Ta'ala had nothing to do just to pass time in a form of amusement. Allah Ta'ala created these great creations. No, there is a purpose and a reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created all these great creations. Allah Ta'ala says, لو أردنا أن نتخذ لهوا لاتخذناه من لدنا إن كنا فاعلين. That if we had intended to make to make something in the form of amusement and to pass time, then we would have made something else. Why did Allah Ta'ala create such a magnificent and elaborate creation like the skies and the earth? And if the purpose was just to pass time, no, there is a definite reason and purpose for these great creations. Allah Ta'ala then clearly mentions that in the face of haq, batil is completely smashed. Batil and falsehood cannot stand in front of haq when haq comes. فَإِذَا هُوَ زَاهِقٌ. And then falsehood then disappears. Although sometimes falsehood might appear to be dominant over the haq, but as explained in some verses previously, it was mentioned, it is like the debris and the foam which is to be found on top of the flood waters, which very quickly they disappear. It disappears or is cast aside. So that is the example of haq and falsehood. Further on, Allah Ta'ala then makes mention of the logical proof concerning the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there is only one Allah who is controlling this whole universe. There is no other deities. Allah Ta'ala mentions it in the form of a logical deduction, that if in the skies and the earth there were many deities besides Allah Ta'ala, the system of these two, of the skies and the earth, would have been in chaos. Because if there were more than one God, more than one deity, each one independent and sovereign, then it will be impossible that they find common ground and agree in each and everything. Definitely there will be differences between the two if they are actually really independent and sovereign, and this will ultimately and inevitably lead to chaos and conflict in the functioning and the system of this universe. But since this universe is functioning perfectly well, therefore it follows that there is only one Allah, and Allah Ta'ala hasn't got any partner, or there is no other Allah and deity besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention from the third ruku onwards many of his great creations in which there is a manifestation of the existence, the oneness and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala mentions about six proofs in this regard. Allah Ta'ala says, don't the people, those who reject, don't they see? The word yara in Arabic actually means to see, but here it means in a logical sense, which includes visual seeing also, and also logical deduction through a logical understanding. They can understand that these are signs of the great qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says that the skies and the earth were both one, and we then opened them up. They were both closed and we opened them up. There was no rain from the skies, no crops growing from the grounds, but to sustain life on the earth, Allah Ta'ala opened the skies and the earth, through which now human beings and other living creatures can survive on the surface of the earth. Allah Ta'ala speaks of the mountains. The purpose of the mountains is to provide stability on the earth, without which it would have been impossible for us to be even sitting here. The earth is spinning on its axis at mind-boggling speeds, but we don't feel it now. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala had placed stability on the earth through the mountains. Allah Ta'ala then makes mention that natural roads and pathways we have made on this earth to facilitate movement of people around the earth. And then Allah Ta'ala says, we have made the sky a protective roof over your heads. And then Allah Ta'ala speaks of this, of the creation of the night and day, and the sun and the moon, and all other celestial bodies, Allah Ta'ala says they are all moving in their own orbits. They don't stray from their orbits, nor do they cross the path of the orbits of any other celestial body, or else it would have been great destruction for the people of this world if they had to collide. Thousands and millions of such heavenly bodies are moving also at mind-boggling speeds in their particular orbits, but they don't crash with one another. If they had to do so, then life in this universe and earth would have been difficult. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions that these kuffar who refuse to accept all of this, they then sometimes say that just leave him alone, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will die, and then after that the matter is closed. Allah ta'ala says, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا لِبَشَّرٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ الْخُلْدِ, that we had not made eternal life a thing for any human being before you also. So if you die, are these people going to stay forever? No. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ, every nafs will taste of death. And Allah Ta'ala says, through good and bad conditions, we will be testing you, and towards us will be your ultimate return. Further on, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of that inherent weakness of man, that man has been created in haste. Man, the kuffar of Makkah particularly, when they were warned that if they don't accept, they could be punished by Allah, punishment could befall them, they used to mockingly say, where is that punishment? Bring it now quickly, we want to see it. Allah Ta'ala says that the promise will come on its appointed time, and فَلَا تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ, don't seek for that thing to come, don't be in a hurry to see that thing, because when it comes, it will be a source of destruction for all of you. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then, from the fourth ruku onwards, Allah ta'ala, the second half of the surah, Allah ta'ala makes mention of the many anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, particularly that story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, that aspect of his story, that to make his people understand, he once broke all their idols, making them realize that these idols, they can't do anything, they don't have any power whatsoever for good or to harm anybody. And eventually then, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is cast into the raging fire. But Allah Ta'ala tells the fire, Ya Naru, O fire, kuni barda wa salaman ala Ibrahim, become cool and become safe. And a source of salamity for Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is exactly what happened, the great miracle of Ibrahim alayhi salam, that fire did not harm Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala says concerning those people that they tried to plot and harm our Nabi, but we made them of the greatest losers. The incident of the other Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam are also mentioned here concerning Dawood and Sulaiman alayhimu salatu wasalam. How Allah Ta'ala, besides granting them Nabuwat, also gave them great kingdom, and such kingdom which was not given to anybody or will not be given to anybody after them, that their rule and kingship was not only over human beings, but also over the other creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How Allah ta'ala made the other creations subservient to them also. Their rule was over the jinnat also, and also over the mountains and the birds, etc. All was subservient to them. Allah ta'ala mentions also concerning Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him through a severe test of severe illness, and also Allah ta'ala took away his possessions and his family, but then he exercised sabr, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restored all these bounties and much more after that over Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. Then the incident of the other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are also mentioned, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says that all of them kanu yusari'una fil khayrat. Our Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they used to hasten towards good and call towards us in hope and in fear, and they used to be humble in front of us. Allah ta'ala says, inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida, that this is your deen, which is the one and only deen. All the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, when it came to the fundamentals of deen, all of them were unanimous and united in the teachings of their deen. Allah Ta'ala says that this is your deen, which is the one and only deen. Allah Ta'ala then mentions concerning some scenes of the day of Qiyamah after that, And then Allah Ta'ala mentions concerning Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, that we have not sent you but as a mercy for the people of the worlds, for the whole universe. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent as a mercy for all of mankind and for all of mankind and other creations. Why? Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guided us to our path of salvation and the path of haqq. The next surah is Suratul Hajj. Since in the surah Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the Hajj and other injunctions concerning Qurbani and also concerning Jihad and Hijrat, and these were such laws of Shariat which normally are to be found in those surah which were revealed after Hijrah. But this surah particularly also mentions many of the fundamentals of deen which are normally mentioned only in the Makki surahs. But here Allah Ta'ala in great detail also has mentioned many of the fundamentals of deen, that is Tawheed, and all the aqaid concerning life after death of Jannat and Jahannam are all mentioned here. In the first verses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the very dreadful and frightening scenes of the day of Qiyamah. Allah Ta'ala says that on that day you will see that every nursing mother will forget and neglect its breastfeeding child, and every pregnant woman will abort the child in abort what is in her womb, and you will see people in a drunk and intoxicated state, whereas in reality they are not drunk or intoxicated. But because of the frightful and fearful scenes of the day of Qiyamah, they will behave as if their minds are not in place. Allah Ta'ala then mentions that those who have any doubt concerning life after death, Allah Ta'ala says, إِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِّنَ الْبَعْثِ. And then Allah Ta'ala mentions two proofs where, through which if a person really ponders, he will realize that nothing is beyond the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala can bring back to life after we all die and bring us back to life and for reckoning. Allah Ta'ala's first proof mentioned here is the development of the human from the time of conceiving till the child is born, all the different stages through which it passes through in the womb of the mother. Allah Ta'ala says, think about that. فَإِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ. We have created you from sand, Adam alayhi salam. ثُمَّ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ. Then from a drop of semen, referring to the rest of man, referring to the fact that these rituals and these acts of ibadat which have been prescribed, the actual object is to show the devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the will to submit to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, in the last quarter, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the verse which was the first verse which made it now, the Muslims were given permission to fight against the kuffar. Prior to that, approximately 70 verses such were revealed, in which the Muslims were told to exercise sabr and restraint. But this was the first verse, that udina lilladina, that permission has been granted to those who have been attacked, because they have been now oppressed, that they retaliate and fight against the kuffar. Later on, the general permission was also given, whether you are under attack or not, but for the sake of that the deen of Allah Ta'ala reigns supreme, that permission has been given for jihad. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again makes mention in quite detail concerning those who make hijrat for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I killed or pass away in that condition, the great rewards which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept for them. And in the last ruku, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the futility of idol worshipping, that these people who claim that these idols are the partners of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they can't create even an insignificant and worthless creature like a fly, even if they all get together to do so. And if that fly had to take away anything from their idols by sitting on the food which they used to place for their idols, that they cannot retrieve it back from their fly. Allah Ta'ala says, "Da'uf al-talib wal-matlub," the worshipper of these idols and the worshipped, the idols themselves, Allah Ta'ala says, they are completely weak, they have no power whatsoever to do anything. In the last verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِ. Let's strive and make jihad in the path of Allah Ta'ala, as is the right to strive in the path of Allah Ta'ala, with full conviction, with devotion, And further on, Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَجْتَبَاكُمْ Allah Ta'ala has selected you. A very great ayat for the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala is saying, Allah has selected you to be from the best of the ummah, from the ummah of the best of the Nabis. So thus, realization that we have been selected to be from part of this ummah will make us realize the great status which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us. Allah Ta'ala sends further that Allah hasn't placed any type of difficulty in your deen. No injunction of deen is such that it is outside our ability to make amal upon. Allah Ta'ala says, follow the deen of your forefather Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah Ta'ala says further, huwa sammakum al-muslim. It is Allah who has kept your name as Muslim. Min qablu, in the previous scriptures also, and in this Quran and Majid also. So it is Allah Ta'ala, although all followers of all the deens, all of them, they submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they are not called Muslims. This is a speciality of this ummah, that Allah Ta'ala has called us also by name, Muslims. And the word Muslim comes from the word Islam. And aslama yuslimu Islam means to submit and to surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should make shukr that Allah Ta'ala has kept our names also, and He has chosen this name for us. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that to live up to this great honor which Allah Ta'ala has granted you, and be obedient to Allah Ta'ala in every regard, perform the salat, establish the salat, pay the zakat, and hold firm to Allah Ta'ala. Place your reliance only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be obedient to Him. He is your helping friend, and He is the best of those who are your helping friends, and the best of those who assist. So from this we understand the great honor which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us just to be from this ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنه قال مر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بعبد الله بن رواحة رضي الله عنه وهو يذكر مع أصحابه فقال أما إنكم الملأ الذين أمرني الله أن أصبر نفسي معهم ثم تلا قوله تعالى واصبر نفسك مع الذين الآية رواه الطبراني حضرت عبداللہ ابن عباس رضی اللہ عنہم فرماتے ہیں کہ رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کا گزر ہوا حضرت عبداللہ بن رواحہ رضی اللہ عنہم کے پاس سے اس حال میں کہ وہ اپنے ساتھیوں کے ساتھ اللہ جل جلالہ کے ذکر میں مشغول تھے تو آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا بے شک تم ہی وہ جماعت ہو جن کے ساتھ مجھے اللہ نے اپنے آپ کو روکے رکھنے کا حکم دیا پھر آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے اللہ کی اس فرمان کو تلاوت فرمایا وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ ابن عباس رضی اللہ عنہ narrates that once نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم passed by حضرت عبداللہ ابن رواحہ رضی اللہ عنہ whilst he was engaged in the dhikr of Almighty Allah together with his friends نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم said to them you are those very people whom Allah جل جلاله has ordered me to sit with نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم thereafter recited the above ayah ابن عباس رضی اللہ عنہ narrates that once نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم passed by حضرت عبداللہ بن رواحہ رضی اللہ عنہ while he was engaged in dhikr of Almighty Allah together with his friends نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم said to them you are those very people whom Allah جل جلالہ has ordered me to sit with نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم thereafter recited the above ayah